to tikkun kli, so your desire to make something a kli, or your lack of desire to make something a kli, has particular relevance. So we saw this, for example, the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Yomi Gimel. We saw it on the Gemara Kamos, which talks about a Hoshana. If a Hoshana has berries on it, you have to make sure there are fewer berries than there are leaves. So otherwise it's a psul. The nature of that psul is the whole discussion. So the Gemara talks about whether or not you can reduce the berries on Shabbos. Or Yantif. So the question is, should this be a malacha of tikkun kli?
It's like depend on when you have
it. Right. So that's because to get it to the right number, that's apparently an issue of tikkun kli, says the Gemara. And then the Gemara says, well, not necessarily. B'di'is lo hashana achar nisi. But if you have another Hoshana, if you have access to a different Hoshana that you can use for sukkahs, it's not necessarily so important for you to be machshir this one, so then it's not tikkun kli. So that's really a fascinating idea, right, which Rashi expands on over there, that your desire to use this will make this action into tikkun kli. Well, if you don't need it because you have another valid unit, then it's not tikkun kli. That's a fascinating idea. And that may be something which is unique, perhaps, to tikkun kli. And we find the discussion coming up in a few other areas. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Rambam. The Rambam says, let's say you have an axe. And so what's an axe? An axe is a piece of metal that chops with a piece of wood that you use to hold it. So let's say I put a piece of wood into an axe, into a piece of metal, make an axe. So that would seem to be an act that you can quit. So the Rambam says, you do that, that's a problem, that's a malacha. And also, if you take it out for the purposes of improving it, let's say you're going to replace it with something or you're going to put it in better, so you take it out, that is also a malacha if you have kavana to improve it that way. So that emphasis on kavana, says the Magen Avraham, that emphasis on kavana is interesting. So Machzor Shekel, commenting on the Magen Avraham, actually says that you would need kavana for both halves. You would need kavana even for putting it in. Why? Because tikkun kli is a unique kind of law. He quotes the Magid Mishnah that makes this point. And the Magid Mishnah has this basic approach that when it comes to tikkun kli, the very nature of being mitaking the kli is that you want it as a kli. And therefore, more so by other malachos than by other malachos. Other malachos maybe have somewhat of an objective meaning, but the whole nature of tikkun kli is that you are deciding you want this kli, and therefore your action has significance. Yes, sir?
Would there still be a concept about the lassi zakah in that case?
So probably, as we'll see, there are those who disagree with Machzor Shekel saying for similar reasons.
So once you say that, so that doesn't that sort of, that ruins the whole concept of, it kind of ruins the concept of Machzor.
Yes and no. You'll see, well, the distinction, a whole lot of thought from it, you'll see, might be relevant to the following point. So Machzor Shekel says, based on this Magid Mishnah, you see that when it comes to tikkun kli, Machzor is much more important. And therefore, the Rambam, who mentions Kavana here, not just by the taking apart the axe, but even by the making of the axe, he would require the Kavana, because that's a whole crucial condition in tikkun kli. So, already it's interesting. And already that seems to be building off a similar idea to the Tosfos, that there are certain actions where the Machshava really defines it, and lacking that Machshava, you simply don't have the Malach. So maybe tikkun kli is a unique malach in this way, that it really draws more heavily on your machshava in order to exist in the first place. However, so, relevant to the issue that Sammy was raising, so once again, mentioned Rav and Gishtadler in his Chuvus Laharis Nasim, so he argues on the Machzor Shekel. And
The Machzor Shekel was saying on top of the Rambam, it's Kavanah in the second half of the sentence, taking apart the acts. And the Machzor Shekel says it's the whole thing, putting it together and taking it apart, because Tikkun Kli is all about your Machzor. Says the Lahoros Nasa, no, it's not true. If you have something that's objectively a Kli, so that's always going to be Tikkun Kli. So you put a handle into an axe. So you made an axe. So as Sammy would say, Bapla Daito, you didn't want the axe, so this is an axe. You can sell this in the store as an axe. Just happens to be that when you take the stick out, so then that's not so obviously a Tikkun Kli. So then there's a type of Tikkun Kli which gets its existence through your desire for it to be a Kli. And that's perhaps what we see from the Gemara in Sukkah, that it's not obvious that taking berries off of a plant is necessarily a Tikkun Kli. It's only the mitzvah niv that creates a unique orientation towards this Kli. So fine, that's something we'll acknowledge. We'll acknowledge the role of mashal there. But if you're making something objectively that you can now sell in stores as a project, as a product, it's clearly a new utensil. So then your lack of intent to do so is not necessarily going to take away from its status as a Kli. So that's an important nuance, which is, I think, what Sam was getting at, that even if we acknowledge that there's a unique importance to Machshava, specifically within this Malacha, we shouldn't necessarily take it that far to say that there's no concept of Tikkun Kli separate from your intent. It's that there's a whole other avenue within Tikkun Kli that is susceptible to intent specifically.
You say there's other Malachos that aren't separate, like in Sartivivi?
So it does seem to me that there are other tracks within a number of Malachos. Right, that Kotzer seems to have this track. Why would you say specifically when you start it? Because you want specifically to have your
measured cutting.
Right, so that could be as well. You find other examples. Happens to be the Magen Avraham quotes from the Rivash that by Mafshit, if you were working on a hide of an animal, but you happen not to want the leather, so then he says that's also not a Malacha, because the whole nature of a Malacha of Mafshit is that you want it. And there again, the machshava becomes a definitional issue. Another example, the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva, Sadi Beis in Yerideya, where he says that when it comes to Bishul on Shabbos, the very definition of Bishul is that you want what you're cooking, or at the very least, or at the most extreme, it's not going to disappear. So let's say, for example, you're going to cook something for so long that it's going to burn down to nothing. So there are other malachas in particular that are potentially relevant, but would you call that bishul? If you left something in the oven so long that it went all the way past its state where it was cooked and went down to ashes, so would that be called bishul? So it sounds so physical. No, the nature of bishul, the definition of bishul, is that you won't have it. If you're going to destroy it in the process, not just qualitatively, but it's going to be gone. So then that's not going to be considered, it's not going to be considered bishul.
So then why would the Gemara in Shabbos talk about somebody taking out the bread from the oven? They should leave it in there and it'll be totally destroyed and it for sure won't be bishul.
Right, it's a good question. So then maybe that might, assuming that that could happen on Shabbos, if you leave the bread in the oven the whole time,
it may take
too long.
So what?
It's not always potentially the case. You know, that if you're going to have it burnt to a crisp on Shabbos, then maybe you will show that's not a malacha. But it's also a good question if your intent was to do it this way and you happen to leave it. You know, where that intent can change in the middle. But let's say my intent from the very beginning was to put something in fire and have it disappear. Right? So then maybe that's not bishul. But if I wanted it to be bishul, it happens to be it doesn't play out, which is a whole separate discussion on this Tosfos as well. Right? So most achronim assume within this Tosfos that if I change my mind afterwards, or if circumstances are that it doesn't play out, that's not going to change anything. It's that, what do I have in mind when I'm doing it?
So
if I put it in with the intent of taking it out, presumably that's going to be an act of bishul anyway. But as we saw when it came to bishul, there was that whole dichotomy about how, what exactly the chiyuv is. Hi.
But aren't you only more than the malacha until you actually finish the malacha? So in the case of cooking...
Malacha of cooking. So that was...
So once you get some tasks out to it, or whatever the bonus for like baking.
Right.
So to that point, you know, if you take it out, you wouldn't be over the malacha. So if you, at that point, change your mind of what you want the nature of the malacha to be, wouldn't that be the equivalent?
That's the question. That really settles the whole discussion. So Sugi and Shabbos and Dabdal, if somebody decides the minimal cooking, that he wants to stop cooking, he doesn't want to be chayav, so then what options are open to him? So it sounds like in that Gemara that if you take it out, you're not chayav. So then it's the whole, we have the whole discussion in terms of Zriya, how exactly that parallels. So yes, if you take it out, you're not chayav. The question is, what if you leave it in? So then you become chayav, and then you keep leaving it in to the point where it's...
Isn't like changing your kavana at that point exactly? Isn't changing your kavana and leaving it in the same exactly? It's just like taking it out?
No, it doesn't seem like that. Changing the kavana doesn't help. It seems that taking it out, it seems from the Gemara explicitly taking change your kavana doesn't help. Because if it did, then maybe that would have been the answer, assuming that you agree with the Chaim Sofer. And assuming you agree with the Chaim Sofer that you're having a different kavana, having a kavana to burn into a crisp wouldn't be bishul, so then maybe theoretically it would have helped. But it sounds like for Gemara, that kavana is not enough. You have to do something to take it out. And the whole question for the Gemara is, once you change your mind and you decide you don't want to be Mechallel Shabbos, do you have the option to take it out and stop yourself from being Mechallel Shabbos? So that's the open question that basically throws in here. So another issue to focus for a minute now on whether there are perhaps different avenues to this Tosfos. Right, so far we've seen the question of whether Tosfos' principle is accepted, discussed a little bit about how the principle works or how it could work. So what else could possibly be relevant here? What else could possibly explain why maybe Rabbi Yehuda would pater in this case, even Rabbi Yehuda would pater in this case. So first of all, support for it, sorry?
It's Kilkel.
So it's Kilkel, that's one possible approach. Another possible angle one could take, a support for Tosfos' premise that Rabbi Yehuda would agree, comes from the Rambam. The Rambam, I'm going to put him on the list, but the Rambam, as we know, agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that Malacha Sheresh Yuchel Gufa is Chayiv, but the Rambam also quotes this din of Rav Kahana. So apparently he agrees with Tosfos at least that much, because he agrees that Rabbi Yehuda would be Mechayiv here, because he's on Rabbi Yehuda's side, and he also quotes, he gives Rabbi Yehuda to your Pater here, because he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, you're normally Chayiv, and yet he quotes this din, this condition of Tzarach Leis. So Yegor Tal has a discussion about this Rambam. And he says something similar to the following. Not exactly the following, but it's similar to the following. That perhaps the unusual need for kavana here has to do with the fact that you have another malacha taking place at the same time, and another here. Right? So this one action, we're looking to nail you both on Zomer and on Kosa. So if it was just an act of kotzer, okay, who knows, maybe your intent wouldn't be so crucial. But because there's also zomer going on, and you're chayiv for zomer, so then potentially you could say that the need to have kavana is going to be greater. It's going to be a bigger deal, because the chayiv for zomer could knock out the kotzer. The only thing bringing the Zomer and the Kotzer together is your intent for both. Your intent, at least for the Kotzer, on top of the Zomer. So this is an interesting idea. And it's an idea that you can deal with a default, you can deal with a lack of Kavana, but Kavana in the wrong direction may knock it out. Right? So this was something we mentioned, we're talking about Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa, according to those who pater. Right? Those who pater from Malacha Sheinu Tzricha L'Gufa, maybe they pater because it's worse than having no intent. Your intent to do something different with this malacha, your intent to dig a hole and use the dirt as opposed to use the hole. Right, we discussed this also in the context of courage. Right, that maybe digging a hole with no intent is more chayiv than digging a hole with intent to use the dirt. Because the intent in a different direction, maybe that actively negates the malacha. Well, no intent at all, not so obviously. So maybe in general, Malach Shetzuch L'Gufa, we mentioned this a little bit last week, that in general, Malach Shetzuch L'Gufa, those who pater feel that the intent for something else knocks out the Malacha. Maybe in this case, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that an actual Malacha, that's a different Malacha, will take up all the oxygen. And in order for Coatsair to get here at all, you have to actively intend for Coatsair. Follow?
Wait, why is it true?
Sorry?
Why would it be true?
So it could be that the act by itself, so a chiyuv for this action already then defines the action. So now it's been defined halachically and for Hilcha Shabbos as an act of Zomer. And the desire to throw a chiyuv of Kotzer on top of that requires you to actively intend it.
Hi. We won't see that in other places. We see that you can be the Mishnah's and Krisos all of you. You can be chai multiple Krisos in one action. You can be chai multiple Misos in one action. They can only act on one Misa, but you can be chai multiple things at once. Why would we assume that should be any different by Shabbos?
Because I think here you also have them, you don't know in those cases, you don't have intent for all those things. Here you have an action which necessarily requires you to have at least some type of intent. So maybe it requires that intent, especially when there's a competing intent. Right? This is not an act.
You might not have any intent for Zomer. The fact that you did the Zomer without any intent,
right?
You're still chayav.
Right, the Zomer is an objective action. Right? Maybe Kotzer has a particular need for Kavana. And even Rabbi Yehuda, who's not always so focused on Kavana, and he's Mechayiv in Malach Shin Tzrich Lagufa, maybe he'll agree in this case. Why will he agree in this case? Well, maybe because Kotzer is uniquely sensitive to it, or the branches uniquely need it. Or maybe also because there's another Malacha, which is clearly on the list, and therefore your lack of intent becomes more fatal than it would otherwise. That if there was a blank slate, that he doesn't need you to have Kavana. But if you have already a chiyuv for Zomer, then maybe you can't have Kavana here as well.
Hi. That's only true assuming that Kotzer is unique, though. I mean, we still have to use the first step of Tosos. Right.
That's possibly the case, except that maybe still that wouldn't have been enough for him. Right? Maybe a normal Kotzer, right? I agree with you that he needs that part of the equation, that Kotzer is unique, but maybe that's not enough. Maybe without a competing malacha, he wouldn't necessarily pater kotzer, which would be a big chiddush. And that could also answer the sphere from the other gemaras, the gemaras in Eruvin, which seem to say you could be chayiv in kotzer without nini de etzin. Yeah, if that's the only malacha involved. But if there's a chiyuv for zomer at the same time, maybe that's going to knock it out. This is an interesting reflection of the role that Machshava plays here in terms of defining the Yisur. The Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a tshuva in Chelek Beis da Mincha Shlomo, where he just mentions really agav something else. But he says he thinks the following is true. So let's say somebody were to put a gun to your head, pikuach nefesh situation, somebody would put a gun to your head and say, I'll shoot you unless you prune this tree. And he's going to force you to do Zomer. So then he thinks, in that scenario, he has this based on Iran, which we'll talk about a little bit next week, because it's relevant very much to the segregation. He says, in that scenario, you could have intent while you're doing this to collect the branches also. And let's say the guy's going to say, I'm going to shoot you if you don't prune the tree. But if you do, I'll let you keep the branches. So you can have that intent to keep the branches. This is a very unique kind of criminal. It's a very unlikely type
it's
of...
It's very talukato.
Right. So he thinks he's getting in trouble. He thinks, I'm going to give you a tool off this. Right? So he thinks, I'll put a gun to your head and you're going to arse such people in the world. He's like, I think I'm making you do a tool off this. And he'll be like, whoa. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if the maisa that you're doing, the maisa of Zomer, is beheter because of the pikuach nefesh. So then the machshava that you have that makes this kotzer is not machayiv you something else. Because the machshava needs a maisa to be connected to. And the maisa here is beheter. So once you're doing this, it doesn't become something new for your machshava. Sorry?
So it's like a prisoner's dilemma.
In a sense, you're negotiating with yourself, right? So you're trying to figure out how many... turn yourself in for two malachas, turn yourself in for one malacha. Right. So it's a unique kind of prisoner's dilemma. So essentially, that's a very strong statement of just how far this whole machshava approach could go. The morale of Prague stated regarding this sugya of Zomer v'tzarech le'etzin, there is a whole other issue here to consider. This is an issue that other Achronim discussed at length. In the Shilei David, it's a sefer on halacha, you can find it in any books that are about 150 years old. Shilei David has a section on Shabbos in the Melach of Kotzer, where he raises the question that shouldn't we say that this is essentially a psik ratio consideration, davar she'eino miskaven. Right? Shouldn't we say that this shows you that Tosas doesn't hold from the Aruch? Because if you hold from the Aruch, you don't need this whole story. Now, what does the Aruch say? And the Aruch, who we've seen a little bit about, we'll see more about next week. I think I included Tosas in the quote the Aruch on this morning's list. Right? The Aruch's view is that davar she'eino miskaven in the psik ratio, if it's a psik ratio, the lo nichle, if you don't want the psik ratio, so says the Aruch, that's mutter. Not lasu mi rabbanan, it's mutter. So according to him, maybe you think, so we don't need Tosafot's explanation. Right? Is this essentially a psik ratio? You're doing the malacha of kotzer through a psik ratio. So I'm doing zomer on purpose. The zomer is also causing a psik ratio. And therefore, if that's the case, so what if it's lo nichle, it should be mutter. If I didn't want it should be mutter. So then the Gemara says, well, tzarech le'itzim, it is nichle. So if you follow the Aruch's approach, you don't need this whole explanation that the malach is defined by your intent. It's enough that to say without that, it's lo nichle. And it should be mutter. So is this Tosfos assuming not like Aruch in that sense? Besides the fact Tosfos in general argues in the Aruch, is this principle against the Aruch? So possibly not. This is going to get to the whole question, which again will segue into next week. That normally we talk about davar she'eino miskaven, you do one action, and that brings about another action. Here you have the same action, which is affecting two things. So is that something that's susceptible to the exclusion of lo yichle? Maybe not. Now, would the Aruch agree with Tosfos? This is the reason, or the Aruch would say, already I agree because it's lo yichle without this. Is this a situation of davar she'eino miskaven? Or is this a situation, no, you're doing the same ma'aseh, so therefore they both count. Hi.
I didn't understand how this would be a proof that Tosfos doesn't hold like the Aruch, and I didn't understand the Chilur. Right?
So basically the question is like this. Yeah. Right? So could you say, Gemara has this requirement of Tzarech Le'itzim.
Yeah.
Right? So what's that requirement of Tzarech Le'itzim about? So says Tosfos, it's about defining the Malacha. Without it, I don't have the Malacha. So you could say, according to the Aruch, no, it's about something else. It's that without this, it's a psik ratio lo nichle. It's only nichle because you want it. So the question is that the right terminology? Is it davar she'eino miskaven b'psik ratio? Maybe that only means when you have two separate acts, and one act causes the other act. So then you're not chayev for the second act if it's lo nichle. But if you have one act that does two things, so then maybe that already is considered to be chayiv whether or not it's nichle.
So how exactly is it one action that causes another act? Should be, meaning you open the fridge and then the light turns on. That's one action. It's two results. Just like
no, but because even opening
one action of cutting off the branch, which is also zomer and also kosher.
But opening the fridge and the light going on is really two actions. They happen to be done at the same time. But the opening of the door triggers the release of the light. So
correct.
It's really two separate things that happen to be done through one thing you do. So your one physical movement of your hand creates two different effects on the world.
Chicken.
Two different places.
And you could use the example of kind of actual secretion, kind of that chicken.
Right.
Chicken is dying.
Right, but it's dying as a consequence of the head being cut off. Without getting into the whole complexities of whether decapitation automatically equals death. But the point is that you are causing his death, and you're taking his head, which are theoretically two separate things. If the person
can't survive without a head. An animal can't survive without a head, so it will die definitely because of what you did, and you took the head. So that's essentially two separate things.
How is this less sacred?
Because here, you're doing one act, you're cutting off branches. And this branch is mitaking, this cutting off the branch is mitaking two things. It's mitaking the growth of the branch, therefore it's an act of Sriya, and it's Omer and Sriya. And it's mitaking that you now have the branches, so that's an act of Sriya. So it's two tikkunim coming from one physical reality. While in general Psikresha case, you have one act maybe that you're doing, but it brings about two separate effects on the world. Now, not everyone agrees with this definition, as we'll see. And Rashi and Tosfos seem to argue about this, and this is something we'll get into a little bit next week. But that's perhaps the question here. The question is this a situation which could have been an exclusion of Sigmatia? So maybe yes. Maybe the Aruf could say, yeah, you need Tzarif Leitzin, because without that, it's not Nikolai. Or maybe you could say, no, the Aruch would agree that this is worse than a normal psikresha case because this is one action, and therefore that one action is always going to be chaya for you unless we can define one of the halachas out of existence, as Tosfos says. So that's a discussion in the Shulei David, and it draws upon a number of Tosfos in Tamil Shakra list this morning, which again is a good segue to the whole psikresha discussion. The comment of the Maharal really focuses on Zomer. So it's interesting. Zomer is not where our Kavanah is focused in this Tosfos. But there's two approaches that Svarim talk about in context with this that we'll just mention quickly now. The problem with both approaches is that they really address the Zomer component more than the Kotzer component. And the intent we've discussed so far is in Kotzer. But one is the Maharal who suggests that Psikresha doesn't apply to Zomer in general. Because the improvement to the plant doesn't happen automatically. And he assumes the Yisod, which is controversially Yisod, that Psikresha only applies when something happens automatically. But if there's a time delay, so then it's not called Psikresha. And that's a controversial Yisod that we'll discuss more next week when we get into Psikresha. I'm just mentioning it now because he associates it with this particular sugya, although it's difficult to get because he's focusing more on the Zomer, while here our Kabbalah intent is on the Kotzer area. Another approach, which also mixes it that way, which is relevant to what we spoke about yesterday, the Dove of Meisharim, the Chibina Rav, as a Chuba, the Chuba's Dove of Meisharim, it's in the A. Where he draws on what we discussed yesterday. We saw that a tolda, shein es rizu l'gufa, many assume that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, is not going to be a problem. So that could be helpful here. If you want to say that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree you're pater without tzarich leitzin, because maybe you're dealing with a tolda. Now, can we call this type of kotzer a tolda? Maybe. Because maybe kotzer in that sense means actual produce. And maybe this whole idea of making trees into making branches into produce, maybe that's a tolda. Zomer, it happens to be, according to many of the Rishonim that we saw, like Rashi, is a tolda. So if we wanted to focus on that, then that would help, because okay, you need kavana. Because it's told the Shinit Sri Kalagufa, otherwise even Rabbi Yehuda will let you off the hook. But again, the problem is that's more addressing Zomer, and the Kavanah that we're talking about here is for the Kotzer component, so that's not as helpful as it otherwise could be. But those are all points which are relevant to a lot of future discussions. So again, this helps us to kind of focus on the difference between Malach Shinit Sri Kalagufa and Psikresha, and segue us into the Psikresha idea. It also has a lot of relevance to defining Kotzer, which will be the Malacha right after that, and has a lot of impact on other Malachas such as Koreya, Mochik, and Dosh, that we will leave for their individual Malachas, but a whole world of discussion coming out of this one little Tosfos.
So according to
the
Malach, there's a time delay that it's nothing.
So that's what it sounds like if you have no intent to do it. If you do something unintentionally, and there's a time delay, so that Psikresha doesn't mechayiv you. And it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch, they have agreements. So since it's a Psikresha discussion, we will
have more time on it next week. I'm just mentioning it now because he connects it to this environment. So I'm talking about this whole dual issue of Zomer and Kotzer, so he brings up that point, that whether his point is accepted or not, and would have major ramifications of Halacha Maisa. So we'll get into that a little bit more next week in the integration discussion. Okay, so let's just try to get a handle on what we spoke about. Spoke about it, just the tip of the iceberg, and this Tosfos, which is not what's normally called an iceberg Tosfos, and it's not one of the huge Tosfos, and then you could understand having pages and pages written about it. It's a very short Tosfos, but it has prompted quite a bit of discussion. What was the iceberg Tosfos? We have the, it looks like it's a small Tosfos because it's very long on the next page. So those Tosfos, as you can understand, they generate a lot of discussion. This is a very short Tosfos, also generates a lot of discussion. And Tosfos basically says that the Gemara tells us with the Hanukkah statement that you can be chayiv for two malachos if you are zomer and you also want the wood that you're cutting off. So it sounds like for the Gemara that that's probably a malacha shenishmuch l'gufa consideration and as a Reb Shimon idea. And Tosfos' chiddush is that no, Reb Yehuda would agree also, even if you are machayiv and a malacha shenishmuch l'gufa, you're chayiv here, because the definition of kotzer requires that machshav, which opened up a number of questions. And we tried to focus on three broad questions. One, is this true? Is this accepted by everyone? Two, if it's true, how does it work according to Tosfos? And three, are there other avenues where it could be true even without Tosfos? So in terms of those three categories, first of all, is it true? We mentioned that Tosfos really disagrees. And he thinks this is a Reb Shimon Gemara. The Magen Avos and Minchas Chinuch think Tosfos is very difficult, but it's not a self-evident point. And among those sources that are quoted as rayas against are two Gemaras in Erevin, where there seems to be a concern for inadvertent kotzer, apparently assuming that even without wanting the branches of the tree, you could be in violation of kotzer. And we mentioned some of the resolutions that are offered to that Gemaras, those Gemaras, and particularly the one in Daf Amud Daled, where the Eglital suggests that the discussion really is not about kotzer of that Gemara, it's really, like the Ritva says, about zomer, which doesn't require that kind of kavanah. So why does zomer not require kavanah in this case, and kotzer does? So apparently, like Tosfos says, it's not considered to be kitzira without this type of intent. The Avnezer elsewhere says it's not called a pri, you're making branches into a pri through your machshava. And we saw that, and now this is segueing into how it works, we saw that the Maharsha focuses on a Malachas Machshavas component to this, and he says it would not be true by Shvias. And this is evocative, this is seemingly parallel to what the Ran says about Chol Tochos, that even though that's not called writing when it comes to a Sefer Torah, Malachas Machshavas can act L'chumra and can make it into writing when it comes to Shabbos. And we discussed in this context Menachem Zemba's discussion also based on this Gemara. There's two different roles for Machshava. Sometimes you have Machshava as a condition of an act, and sometimes you have Machshava as the definition of the act, where perhaps Rabbi Yehuda would agree Machshava is much more important than in other cases where it's a condition to an act. We discussed a little bit, briefly alluding to the discussion about the Zara and Father Raguma. We mentioned also Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's tshuva, where he says that the machshava here is has an interesting role. So, for example, if you are forced to do the ma'isa because it's kuach nefesh, so you're forced to do the zmira, but the guy says to you, "I'll let you keep the branches. You have intent to take the branches." That itself wouldn't do it because then you have a machshava separate from the ma'isa, and that machshava alone is not enough to create this chiyuv for you. We then also discussed how this idea appears in other places. It's particularly relevant when we talk about Tikkun Kli. Tikkun Kli seems to be particularly susceptible to Machshava defining the Isser, because maybe that's the whole nature of making the Kli perfected. And we saw that specifically, you know, the Gemara has this discussion about Hoshanas, if you're taking off berries off Hoshana, so then it could potentially be Tikkun Kli, but it's not if you have your own Hoshana otherwise. Fascinating statement, which Rashi expands upon. And then we saw that this is an idea, for example, the Magen Mishnah says that Tikkun Kli requires your Machshava, And the Machzah Shekel says, that's also what the Rambam says, you need kavana for it to be a malacha. If you take the handle out of an axe, he means even putting it in, because both of them are technically considerations subject to machshava. So that as Nasi Gishtetner suggested, no, he doesn't think that's true. That an objective kli, like Sammy said, is but levaito, which is going to make something into an axe, and you can sell and restore as an axe. So everyone will agree that's a kli. But if something is less obviously a tikkun kli, taking a stick out of the axe is less obviously considered to be beneficial to it. So it needs your kavana to make it into tikkun kli. So in other words, tikkun kli is an example of this machshava role, maybe absolutely, or maybe not absolutely, maybe just in some circumstances, it has this role in defining the malacha. I mentioned a few other examples. The Rivash quoted by the Magen Avraham in terms of mafshik, which you need your specifically. The Shem Sofer about Bishul, specifically when you're interested in what's being cooked and you're not interested in having it incinerated, perhaps all of these examples of where this idea comes up. And then we focus on the Rambam a little bit. The Rambam seems to agree, at least the closest premise to Rehuda is Mechayev, because the Rambam himself is Mechayev from Alach Shitzvich L'Gufa, but quotes this condition of Tzarech La'etzim. And we mentioned the Hevei Kal's approach, where he basically says that Mechapir is, since you're already Chayev for Zomer, you can't be Chayev also for Kotzer unless you really want to be, unless you have that intent that you want it to be there, otherwise the intent's not going to get filled in by default. And we noted this seems to be an extension of what we find elsewhere, that, for example, those who pater for Lama Shetzirut Lagufa, perhaps they see here a patur for lack of intent. That Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree, the intent can come fill itself, while the others say, no, the intent to do it non-malacha will negate the malacha intent. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with that, but maybe he does agree with this. If you have already another chi of malacha, that will push away this second malacha, unless you have an active intent to actually do it. Then we discussed some other possible approaches. Is it possible that one could agree that you need Tzarech La'etzim, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, but not because it's a definition of Yetzira per se? So in addition to what we just mentioned about the two competing intents, so we mentioned the question, is this perhaps a L'Nichalei exclusion? That the declaration is L'Nichalei, could also pater, so according to the Aruch, it's mutter. So maybe the Aruch wouldn't need this whole story. So we discussed, maybe no, that's different. That's separation when you have two different actions which you cause, and you're liable for both. Here it's one action that has two different tikkunim that even lo nichalei, maybe the Aruch wouldn't necessarily say is mutter, and you would still need Tosfos's svar. And then we talked about two other observations that were made in this context, which could have been helpful, except that they both focus on Zomer and Kotzer, so it's a difficulty. One is the possibility that segregation is not going to apply to Zomer in general because of the time delay, a controversial point that we'll pick up on, God willing, next week. But again, that's less helpful because it doesn't address Kotzer. And also the Chibitter's idea that you're told that Shem Yisrael Kulguf is Pater, so maybe even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would need Kavana here because of the Tolda issue. Now, can we call Kotzer Eitzim the Tolda of Kotzer Peros? Maybe. It's easier to say for Zomer, because Zomer does seem to be according to many Rishonim the Tolda, so if that was the arena of Machshava, it's easier to explain how that could help us here as well. And even without all these reasons, we have Tosfos' reason that it's a definition of Yetzira that comes into play here. Idea relevant to other malachas as well, as he points out to Korea and Mohenik and Dosh, all of which God willing will discuss within their own malachas. Okay, I wish you all a happy day. Again, tomorrow is Thursday, so tomorrow, Parshat Lech Lecha. Then on Sunday, we'll start.